I can't remember how we started before.
Let's get it started. I think we just said hello.
Well, hello.
Well, hello.
We can't just say hello after being gone for like 2 years.
Well, no, we're about to lead into the intro. We just have to have a first word.
We've been cryogenic advancements in the last year and a half have allowed us to be unthawed.
Yeah.
And merge as we once were.
We are ready.
So do you remember when we finished season 7 and we said goodbye forever? Well, it turns out there's another new season out. funny story, we had absolutely no intention of bringing this podcast back at all. And we just decided, I want to say, would you say about 3 hours ago to do this?
We were in the group chat talking about last night's ep, and as soon as we heard there was a gay Tory, we were like, we have to, let's destroy them.
Yeah, and we were like, fuck it, will we just come back? And so here we are, and we're back for a new season of Please Do Not Swear. And we're ready to go.
Yeah.
So I just
want to say that we also have been, you know, vaguely keeping track of our Instagram. So thanks to everyone who has still engaged with us, even though we're, you know, MIA. It's been this is for you guys. This is for the OG guys.
PDNSI sees all. I gave up Instagram about 6 months ago, and I've been using that account as like my snooping tool, so people are probably like, what's this eye looking at my story?
So what Rob's saying is that he didn't really give up Instagram, he just seen looking at people's stories as himself.
I mean, it's very Big Brother vibes, you know.
Very Big Brother vibes. Very, very Big Brother vibes.
Snooping.
But this is a bit of a fun one because, like, okay, so it's only a 6-week season. That was like a big selling point for us. But also, it's new and we don't really know what's going to happen. Like, obviously, all of our other seasons, we're kind of watching as nostalgia and as, you know, from the future kind of thing. And it was kind of the old stuff. Yeah. Whereas it's very much, we're raw dogging this season out here, just like everybody else.
A nice change of pace.
I think we might have to change our Instagram bio though, because we are now a watch along or like a real time reaction podcast as opposed to a past tense. It's gonna be interesting.
So yeah, we've no idea if this season's gonna be any good or not, but we're all in it
together. Make it good, Maeve.
Promising start though, I will say.
It was fine. It wasn't I felt the housemates weren't as try hard as in like later seasons on like Channel 4, Channel 5. There were a lot less, I don't know, not out there, but less weird.
Okay. Let's dive into it.
What season is this? Season 20.
I looked it up. It's season 20. It's season
20. What a lovely round number.
Yes, it is season 20. I'm very hopeful that they're going to bring back Celebrity Big Brother as well, because really that was the juice.
I think I remember reading that they're locked into contract now for a few seasons, right? Like, remember when the first came out that ITV bought it? I think they couldn't just buy it for one, the rights. I think they had to buy it for a few. So.
Oh, gorgeous.
I think it's, definitely possible. I mean, I guess it all depends how well this is. But
I do kind of have to wonder if this whole, like, you know, I think it finished up in 2018. That was the last season of, like,
In my mind, it was, like, 2012 when it finished, lol.
No, but it died, no offense to anyone.
Channel 5.
If you're listening. But, and obviously we are biased. You could probably tell by the fact that we only did the podcast up to season 7 that we very much have a bias towards the early days of Big Brother.
Grace Adams Short.
Yes.
And her whole family.
But yeah, it kind of had a long drawn out life, and it moved over to Channel 5. There was a lot of seasons. It obviously went 19. It went up to season 19, and like I think the last season I actually watched in real life was season 8. So I don't know anything about any those 11 seasons. But I have to say, it given that, I would say we would probably fit one of the main demographics of who would have been the primary audience for Big Brother back in the day. This sort of stop start 5 years later is a potentially genius marketing ploy, because nobody cared about Big Brother when it finished.
And now everyone's
mad for it. So yeah.
Our what's impact. They
call it? Scarcity marketing. Scarcity, right?
No, I definitely think it was us and us alone.
Yeah, single-handedly. Yeah. We did
dragged
this.
It back to life. Yeah.
Obviously it being on ITV helps as well. Like Channel 5.
It does. I will say ITV knew what they were doing, because this whole intro was just like rammed with nostalgia. It felt like early season entrances.
What really bothers me though? There's a new fucking song, or a version of the Paul Oakenfold song. Like, it's not quite the same.
Oh my god, it's Paul Oakenfold on G. It's like... it's like those, you know those...
Paul Oakenfold at the after party. It's... what it reminds me of, like... the knockoff songs. It's like, you know when you go into 7-Eleven and it's like a knockoff of an ABBA
kids
song.
Kids Bop.
Oh my god.
Kids Bop.
The fake Love is Blind music. I thought it was like those... the YouTube videos where it, like, skips a fourth beat and gets faster.
Yeah, no, there was just something uncanny about it. It was just a little bit off, wasn't it?
And I'm like, why? Because surely they have the rights to the song. Why did they redo it? And I don't think, maybe he was involved, but it doesn't sound like it.
But yeah, anyway. I wonder, like, this is how you can tell that we only decided to do this podcast like 2 hours ago, because we've done very little research and know nothing about the actual circumstances which this
Let me look up Paul Folk Oakenfold Spotify.
Paul
Folk and
Fold.
Paul Pop and Fold. Pop and fresh.
So yeah, let's talk about that intro.
Yeah, another missing addition is Mr. Marcus Bentley. I don't know if he was in the later Channel 5.
He was. He was in it up to the end. Yeah.
I just have a note that says I'd miss Marcus Bentley.
You would.
The voiceover that they have now, it kind of reminds me of, you know, the storyteller at the start of Shrek when they like open the fairy tale book and it's like...
Is that not Jennifer Saunders?
Is it? No, there's one that has a male voice.
Jennifer Saunders.
Is that not... She's Fairy Godmother. Oh, maybe she's double jobbing.
She'll be double jobbing, you know.
Yeah.
Can confirm Paul Oakenfold doesn't have it uploaded, so I don't think he was involved. It's just one of those fucking knockoffs.
Oh my god. The Jai Fay remix.
Big product
placement. So yeah, the intro. So actually, let's talk about graphic design here for a bit. What do we think of the new eye?
Graphic design is my passion.
Do you like the eye,
they really,
guys?
They put their whole IT bussy into that eye. Like, they threw everything at that.
It's very colourful.
And
which
also,
actually I think
like,
represents
I like
the theme
it.
Because they want to show all...
gay.
All gay. No, they want to show all aspects of society. So it's like, you know, colourfulness. So maybe that's...
I like it, but... I do think it has a very 2023 look, shall we
it
say.
Looks, so you know the way you'd see those like emojis on the cover of like Heat magazine? It kind of reminds me of that.
It's giving maybe. Heat magazine.
It's a bit busy, but sure, I think that's the whole point because the house is also quite busy.
I do like
I didn't even clock
of...
that there was like symbols inside.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Heartbreak, lightning. I didn't clock that at all. Oh my god, I thought it was just like colourful splash.
Very TikTok friendly because they can use those emojis then for their videos.
I will say though, that, like the promo shots, I don't know if you've seen like the Housemate promo shots. It's kind of given me Love Island meets Drag Race. Like it's very much influenced by
absolutely.
The Meet the Casts of...
The ITV like structure is definitely there. It's definitely in place.
Yeah.
They know.
Yeah, it's definitely, it has a more like 2023 reality TV feel to like the Housemate intros. Yeah.
Somebody has to do the America's Next Top Model fade out as they get evicted. Please.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, overall, like I think like this is definitely ITV's version of Big Brother.
For sure.
I think we'll get into more detail, but it's I'm noticing a lot of comments from the public on these videos, just like saying that it felt very like too polished, like very. And okay, so the launch show actually isn't live, so that's another thing people had a problem with. But yeah, it's just very, we're kind of missing that chaos maybe a bit that we're used to with the, especially with the early Channel 4 days.
100%.
The Mary the Witch getting out the car and walking the wrong way.
Oh, walking the wrong way. Exact prime example.
Sorry, speaking of the car, like, what happened to the limos? Why is everyone pulling up in a fucking Ford Mondeo? Like,
it's very a Fiat 500.
Your neighbor across the road, like,
gave you a lift, yeah.
Right.
Well, anyway, let's digress. Intro, yeah, nice. Just don't like the song. But
don't like the song. No, but I'm talking about, you know, the sort of the video at the start that was like in every corner.
Oh, the dramatic intro. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're gonna scour Britannia.
Yeah. And it was like, it was very much leaning a lot more into the whole, like, this is what reminded me of very early season Big Brother. Like, leaning into the whole, like, actual Big Brother is watching you, 1984, like, yeah, surveillance vibes.
Because they had, like, the shots of the streets with, like, the camera, like, the CCTV. And, like, it was very, like, yeah, there is a presence watching everyone and we're going to find you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And it kind of made out that, like, it was like, Big Brother, I'm Big Brother. I've been searching across the land for these housemates, like, lurking on the street. I'm like, no, pet, they filled in an application form and went through an audition process. Like, you didn't just fucking block them off CCTV.
Like, bag
I
over
watched
the head
their story
a
on the Police Not Square Instagram account and forwarded it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, I'd like to apologize again. This is a blast from the Please Do Not Swear past. I am aware that I have a creaky chair and I've just heard a creaking.
Do you still have that fucking chair?
It's a WD-40.
It's very comfortable. It's ergonomic. Like, what do you want me to say? I'm not paying for another chair. Sorry. So I apologize if it's a.
Oh my God. Big shout out to our listener Alex Wall, who bought the fucking diary room chair. And
it wasn't the diary room chair. I just realized it was a chair from the Big Brother house. It was like one of the egg chairs. But also big up to Alex for like purchasing actual Big Brother furniture from season 5, I believe.
Yeah.
At auction.
Oh, that's a real sticky season, isn't it?
Yeah. Like
the whole.
That was the food fight.
Like,
yeah.
The whole chair.
That was the season of the food fight, so you like, there could be anything. You know?
Death or bed bugs.
My chicken stew.
But yeah, let's talk about the hosts, namely AJ Adudu in that
I would
blue
risk
latex.
The deeper shade of blue catsuit. I would risk life and limb for AJ Adudu. I was a strictly diehard in 2019, 2020, and then she fucking lost her leg just before the finale.
No.
She lost her leg?
No, she was injured.
No. Oh, right. I was like, what?
She lost her dancing leg, sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, right.
And also someone called Will Best, who I wish nothing but the best to.
Good for him.
Good for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're getting a lot of hate, is what I've seen
what?
So far.
Really?
Especially, a
Why?
Lot of people don't like AJ. I don't know, I think she's very divisive, apparently.
Why?
Saying that, you know,
how could
she wasn't
she not like
host.
AJ? Sorry. But the blue latex, like...
Yeah, I know, that's what I just saw that. I was like, and the inches she was wearing on her head. Oh,
oh.
My goodness. Back at the knee.
Listen,
you know?
Gorgeous.
But yeah, I think they're actually they work really well together so far.
Has anyone seen their prior work?
I've seen her dancing.
And she also hosted the makeup show. What's it called? Oh my God.
Glow Up, right?
Glow Up. Didn't she host that?
Did she?
I think she did.
I don't know.
Hang on.
I watched one season of that and it was the one that our friend James was on, so... I haven't seen the latter.
Name drop, lol.
Yeah, hashtag at James.
At James Mack.
At James.
Your man, Will Best hasn't done much. Like, Dan, celebrity coach trip. Oh, he was a contestant. Oh, no. Celebrity, obviously. Suck my pop.
Suck my pop?
Excuse me?
on Jessica's channel.
Love Shaft, very suggestive name.
Oh, he was a panelist on Big Brother's Bid on the Side in 2013 and 2014.
That's probably the link. Yeah.
So he has some chops then for the gig.
He has some Big Brother credentials. Okay.
Yeah.
I will him the best.
Oh, Big Brother credentials. We won't go into it because it's a whole episode. The Russell Brand documentary and the Big Brother Bit on the Side stuff.
Oh, Pat.
Haven't seen it.
Oh,
I haven't seen the documentary. But yeah, yikes.
Onwards. Let's not.
Let's not get into
bad
that
shit. Bad shit.
It's a new era. It's a new day.
Right. Will we talk about the house in general, or what we do now?
Well, I've got two bits before we talk about the house.
Right.
One is that AJ Adudu said that 30,000 people applied. I'm like, that doesn't seem like very many. Like compared to the heyday, I do acknowledge that. Like, it's not the glory days, and it's a reboot kind of vibe. But
there's probably a lot of uncertainty around this, I'd say, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Were we allowed to apply? Like, were Irish allowed to apply?
By we, you mean Irish.
I was like, over 30s? I was like, what do you mean?
Convicted felons?
The royal we.
Yeah.
Cock goblins.
I assume so. You can't be not.
Cock goblins.
Stop now.
Need not apply. Yeah, this is not a PG rated podcast, you probably realised.
Yeah,
it never has been. That,
explicit label on the episode. Actually, which production company might we get sued by? It's probably not Endemol anymore. Let me see.
Oh, yeah, we can't be. ITV, surely.
Do they not sell the rights, Endemol?
They have production people, don't they? Yeah, it's on ITV. Anyway, look, we'll do our actual research on the show. We'll know what we're talking about.
We'll cross that bridge if and when.
We'll know what we're talking about by the time we hopefully start the second episode.
Yeah. We got away with 2 and a bit years of Endemol slander, so we'll be grand. Listen. Yeah.
But yeah, so 30,000 applied. I also was wondering, so it's $100,000 prize. Is that tax-free?
I don't know if the UK do.
What's it with the lottery?
Because it wouldn't be worth your while. Like, if you got that here and you had to pay tax on it. Sorry, not us talking about taxes on a fucking reality show.
But it
wouldn't be
worth
your while. Sorry, I wouldn't be arsed if half of it was being taxed up. Like that's because that's a significant chunk, you know. So yeah, I hope that whoever wins gets a nice prize.
Just those gift cards. 10,000.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh god, one for all vouchers. 100,000 and one for all vouchers.
On the subject of hosts, Davina tweeted saying she has terrible FOMO.
Yeah, she did. Brian Dellen always also piped in about his drama, of course.
Spicy.
Just the fact that he noticed that on the show they kept talking about, like, or was it in the lead up, they interviewed like Davina and Emma, but never actually asked him to interview or even mentioned him, that he was a past host.
Oh yeah, sorry, that's a bit host. Shit.
Because he had a big falling out with, was it Emma? No, I can't remember now. Anyway, he ain't happy.
So. Yeah. Okay, so he wasn't acknowledged as a past host. But you'd think that they would have gone around the house, like even like the iconic housemates, like, you know what I mean? Even if it wasn't as a host, like, did they not do any of like housemates?
Well, I'm seeing a lot of like, if you news search the like Big Brother, there is a lot of like new interviews with like, where are they now type of stuff. So there's a lot of that has come back out now.
Sorry, who did it first? Well, by us, when I say we did first, I mean we did it like 39th, but we did it before this particular press interviews.
Yeah. And it was also secondary information that we found online.
Yeah. But, So if it wasn't for those interviews, we would have had no content. So no. I'll leave them off.
But I did see.
We won't name names.
I did see Glynn's singing his song about cooking an egg for the very first time. Ahu. Not sure, was that like just on a whim or was he part of an interview.
Now listen, like Glenn that. Is I think we can call him a friend of the podcast. We've made contact with Glenn. But I will say, Glenn, and I'm sorry if you're listening to this, you can only cook an egg for the very first time once. After that, it's second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth time.
Exactly. We saw.
We saw
you cancel Glenn.
Yeah.
Fun fact, did we ever talk about the Glenn voicemails? No. The voice notes.
I think it was after. No. I think it was after. But he got in contact with us and he was like, he joined the podcast.
It was just the fact that it came via Bonnie, like iconic.
Yeah.
Both him and Bonnie listened to us.
The fact we could have chatted to them just a little bit too late. And sure, we were absolutely knackered by that point. So
we had it up. No, but the
it was great. It was great to hear from him. So Glenn, if you're listening, it was great to hear from you. Yeah. Shall we get into these housemates? I suppose.
Or do you talk about the house? The house, the physical house.
Oh yeah, sorry, let's talk about the house.
Oh, it's so glam. Two stories.
Favorite. Did you see the video of them building it? It's like it's built in like a massive hangar studio type thing. So it's like a house in a big building. It's like double housed. So even if you get outside the house, you're inside still.
Because I was wondering, like, because of, and we'll get into like the editing of the what's the word, season premiere, but I did wonder what is the actual walk into and out of the house, because like they had that kind of bridge where they were walking into the eye and they like met the host outside, but then it just cut to them walking into the house. Like there was like a little bit of a hall of mirrors kind of situation going. Yeah. But then I saw that it was built in like a soundstage. So I was like, there must be quite a long walk to actually get to that outside part. Like they must be walking through like a studio. You know what I mean?
I wonder when this was filmed.
I was wondering when the premiere was filmed as well, because it obviously wasn't live, but it has to have been fresh enough that the public can like react to what's going on.
Yeah, because I don't know if like if the cast leaked or...
No, it must have been the day before, a really quick edit.
I think it was probably the day before. Like, I guess that it was like Saturday night and then it was Sunday night, you know?
Right.
Worth noting, it's in a new location because the... Was it L Street Studios, the last place?
Yeah.
It was bulldozed, remember? That was in the news. It was the Big Brother house is officially bulldozed. And now it's...
What do you think made them bring it back? Like, why were they like, Let's bring back Big Brother. Because like if they bulldozed
I think people are so tired of Love Island that they need a new little pet project. Love Island is done to death. It's so tired. It's corny. It's played out.
I think people are sick of like the influencers just being on reality TV. Like all gorgeous
influencers.
That's what I think
influencers. That's what I think I really enjoyed about the premiere. And I think, so after we wrapped up Please Do Not Swear, I fell down a rabbit hole of Survivor. I became absolutely obsessed with Survivor. And I think it was because what I was really missing from reality TV is just like loads of different types of people. Like people who would like never meet each other. Very different personalities in like the same environment, and I think that's something that we don't currently have.
I think they probably noticed
TV
as well the
UK.
Success of what is it called, the where you're there's two people killing in the house.
The traitors.
Yes, where it's just
me and Maeve watched the entire season two of the Traitors while we were on holidays a few weeks ago.
The Australian one.
Yeah, shit show.
Terrible.
Like that's so good because it's personality based. You know, it's very different people from all walks of life.
I think that's the best type of reality TV is when you just have a lot of different types of people who would never be in the same room in real life, and you just see what happens. Like they get along, they don't get along.
Will
we get into them? We've got 16 to get through. So will we?
Oh God,
hop on
Jesus!
In
yeah,
to our right, our motley crew.
Our motley crew. Let's go.
They really. There's no punches pulled. They're straight to it. There's very little faffing around. They're blasting through them.
so and also, fast.
One thing that I found a little bit that I kind of like slightly made strange with before we get into like the individual intros, I will say I did find the whole intro like videos, they were very, very, very polished. It was very Love Island vibes with the intros.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
It was very stylized, which is, you'd kind of miss like the Scaldi audition video. I and used like, to
do you remember Dom's audition tape?
Yeah.
That's what I miss.
So good. So yeah, like there's definitely a little bit more like stylizing to it, and there is a little bit of that kind of, you know, current reality TV influence where it doesn't quite feel as Scaldi or as messy as season.
But we're also like, my humps. Yeah. We're also coming from a place of like nostalgia, also kind of craving nostalgia a bit. I mean, there has to be that element of polish. Because fucking Gen Z,
you're on ITV now, baby.
Imagine Gen Z watching original Big Brother. They'd be.
But and we'll talk about this. Like, these housemates are young. Like,
I know, it's
most
mad.
Of these people would not have been around for the original run. Like,
no,
I don't know if they've ever even watched it. Like,
I was triggered. You know? One of the housemates actually says the words, "When I was a kid watching Downton Abbey," and I was like, "A kid."
Hold on.
You're a child watching Downton Abbey.
The youngest. What? So let me just do some girl maths.
The youngest is
18. So they would
born
have
2005,
been.
Born 2005. Which is season 6 of Big Brother. So they were born in the year of Anthony Cotton and Mackosy's Big Brother season.
So they would have been 2 when we stopped watching and finished the podcast before we hopped in our time machine.
Yeah, yeah. So she would have been born the year of our second last season of Please Do Not Swear. So I don't know to what extent these youngins, these whippersnappers would have been, which in fairness, she did say in her intro tape, "Do not treat me like a baby." So I apologize, Holly, if you're listening to this, I'm not trying to treat you like a baby. But no, like, as in, I don't know, probably a lot of these people might not have actually seen the original Big Brother and they're just kind of going off like their knowledge of it and like more recent seasons even, which is just an interesting starting point. Or they might have been like, let me watch all the old seasons, you never know,
let me hoover up this chaos.
But
anyway, first
let's
in,
get
right?
into it.
So first in, we've got a lovely little Welsh lad, Jenkin is his name. He's 25 and he says he's not the only gay in the village, but he doesn't say which village he's from. I lived in Wales, so I want to know what village.
He did say where he was from, but I couldn't. It was like a Welsh name, so I couldn't even try to write it down. I was like,
consonants.
Yeah, I was just like, yes.
So he works in a pub.
Yeah, he's also a bingo caller.
And the bingo
he loves
caller.
6 and 9.
Yeah,
he's a bit of a bitch and a bit of a goss.
Yeah. A little bit of an instigator, he said.
We'll see that later.
He got great intro songs. So in his like video intro, he had Savage by Megan Thee Stallion. And then for his actual walk-in music, he got Padam. I was like, you've done.
Padam. What a start though. As soon as Padam came on, I was like, Maeve is going to lose her mind.
I was like, here we
Padam
go.
Padam extended mix.
We are in. He did. I wrote down a joke that the host then made, which made it less funny, which is that he's wearing the logo.
And that's referenced later in the ep when he's torn to
and
bits.
Yeah, that was then made twice in the ep. So I was like, okay, sad. Sad.
Beat them all.
The name badges. That's new.
They looked real like cheap and shy, didn't they?
Cheap and shy.
It was very like corporate offsite.
Oh, God. No.
Or
no.
It was
in the Myers-Briggs.
Yeah.
Sunshine Circle.
So Jenkin,
they kind
I'd
of
say
just
he
boot him straight in, like he's it's very
yeah. Oh
quick.
Yeah, there's no messing around. Like there's no
it's like
long walk in. There's no. I mean, again, I do appreciate the whole hashtag be kind message of like social, how you behave towards the contestants on social media, but at the same time you would miss people being booed on the way in. Do you know what I mean?
Just a little bit, just a little one.
Just a little bit. Not that boo. I want anyone specifically to suffer being booed on the way in, but it's just again missing the edge a little bit for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The panto vibe is not there.
Yeah, I
the dark
not
side
that
of
I'm
reality.
For not that yeah. I'm for the panto vibe. It's just there's a general. I just think it's a little bit overly glossy. The whole impression of it. But yeah. I would say Jenkin, he seems like he's a personality. There was a lot of sort of screaming and excitement going on when he came in. He was the first one in, so he was certainly enjoying himself. But I think, he's a little Welsh honey, and I think he will be fun. He certainly had an eventful episode, shall we say.
The poor pet. Yeah. Well, we'll get to that later. Yeah.
And it's one of his first comments is like just how surprised he is at how big the house is. So he obviously has watched previous seasons to know that they
claustrophobic. I did see that some like journalists and stuff were sent in just to do like a recce of the house and just get, you know, see what it's like.
I read one too.
It is a lot bigger.
Yeah, but they also said it's overly colourful, so you never really feel relaxed.
Yeah, there was like a Guardian headline that said, what was it? It was overly, let's see. Sorry.
And also the comments that the jacuzzi was too small.
Yeah.
The jacuzzi is not fit for an orgy, apparently. It's too small.
That's like what it said. It said, vanishingly few orgy opportunities inside the punishing new Big Brother house. But yeah, apparently it's bigger than previous editions, but it's so colourful that you get a headache, and it's also apparently very, very warm in there.
Yeah. Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Right, on to Farida.
Farida. Ageless. She's 50. She's actually
when she
ageless.
Said she's 50, I was like, there's no way.
Bitch, no. Fairness, she is a makeup artist.
She's a makeup artist, so she probably knows a few tricks, and she probably knows her skincare. But that woman does not look 50. She looks fantastic.
Great vibes straight away. She just seems like a lovely pet.
Really lovely woman. And she was like super warm to everyone coming in. She said she's a proud Muslim. She loves praying. She's seen in a series of absolutely unbelievable saris.
Beautiful.
Yeah, both in her promo video and then also in her like entrance look.
Her entrance look is
stunning. And she's from Wolverhampton, and I just have down, God, I love like a Midlands accent. It's very I can't think of what it is right now, but I was like, I really love her accent.
When she goes in and she meets Jenkin, she asks him, is he Irish or, what did she say,
Scottish
or Irish?
Or Scottish, based off his accent. His incredibly Welsh accent.
I don't know if she was joking, which is a little bit surprising because I feel like the Midlands, like Wolverhampton, it's probably not that far from the Welsh border.
And he's so
like, it's
Welsh.
Closer to Wales than it would be to Scotland or Ireland.
Or Ireland. Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, she's good vibes. She's very warm, I feel.
Yeah, very, very lovely woman, I feel, so far.
Top tier. So, who's up next?
We've got
Tom. A young man, 21.
Yeah, very young.
Has a bit of a mullet? Or
bit of a mullet.
Perm. A perm will learn later.
Permy mullet, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's a butcher. Doesn't like the sensation of raw meat.
Yeah, how does that work? Tom. Does he wear gloves?
To be honest, though, I doubt many butchers are really like, oh, God, I love this, you know?
The smell of blood.
You know? He says he's funny and outgoing, and he's practical. He's smart in a practical way. To be honest, I didn't really have much to say about Tom.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, I said he seems a bit tick and a bit boring.
Yeah, I'm not expecting, I feel like we'll do predictions, I think, at the end, but
he's not near the top.
It's giving mid tier for me. Yeah. Next up we have Hallie, who is a youth worker from South London. And when I say the word youth, I mean youth, because this bitch is 18 years old.
18.
Did they have 18-year-olds? Like, I know, like, you could be on Big Brother if you were over 18 back in the day. Yeah. And Samantha, I think, were 18 as well.
Yeah.
Samantha.
And who else is 18?
Yeah, they'd maybe have one 18-year-old a year.
Yeah.
But Hallie is 18. She says in her intro that she barks at men who catcall because if you act like a dog, you're going to get treated like one.
Don't she grit says, your teeth at me like a dog, woman.
Woman.
Oh my God, who was that again? Saskia.
Saskia and Mary.
Okay. Yeah.
I just could, like, the confidence of her at 18 is so impressive. Like, me at 18. Me now. Oh.
I'm like, that's not the same 18 that I was. Like, I was very much not that confident. Like, and she also says that she's never lived away from home. So this is like a real extreme intro, I would say, to not living with your family and living out of your house with like 15 other adults. Hallie, I think she will be an interesting character.
It's interesting that she did say, don't treat me like a baby, but I think a lot of people will, because she's 18, you know?
Yeah.
It's very hard not to.
And I think she seems, like, super friendly in the premiere. Like, she's, like, getting on well with people.
Yeah, she's giving hugs to everyone who comes in.
Yeah, but she was, like, friendly, but, you know, I do think that there is a little, there's kind of two age groups, I would say, in the house. There's, like, the young people and the, like, people over 30, you know? Or the people over 30s. Although, like,
she is so tall. She's so tall.
So tall. She's gorgeous.
Who was it that she was standing beside who's also very short?
And it might have been Farida.
Farida, yeah. I think there's,
Or was it Yinran, maybe?
I'm just looking at the order remember. Here. It must have been Farida.
When she was, she like, she ducked coming in the door and it reminded me of you in Japan, Mark. Smacking your head off the door.
Smacking my head off everything in Japan. Japan is not built for tall people.
For sure. Okay, next up. I'm not trying to dive into predictions too early, but next up is my winner. It's Trish.
Oh my God, Trish Bish.
Trish Bish. She's a 33-year-old mum from Luton. She describes herself as very left wing, a massive feminist.
No. Very, very left wing.
Very left wing. A massive
very
feminist.
Very hybridation.
Hates the Tories, and she says, "I'm also amazing." And then she gets out of the car. A $1 million bill by Whitney Houston is
so good.
I must say, actually, the music is so, whoever is picking that music,
so good.
Number one is our age. For sure.
Yeah.
Because someone gets a Girls Aloud song. I can't remember who it is. I think it's Yinran.
It gets something kind of ooh.
Something kind of ooh, yeah. Like, what? There's definitely a 30-year-old gay picking that song. But anyway,
so good.
I digress.
Trish Bish is originally from the Congo.
Yes.
My God, her vibes, her energy.
Yeah.
As just you said, great. Immediate winner for me.
Big, like, I was just like, I'm on board. I'm immediately on board with Trish. She has, like, $1 million bill playing. She does her little intro with the hosts. And then she does what can only be described as a strut up the runway to $1 million bill.
And that dress. Oh, chomping. She looks great.
Trish, just... Like, this is the problem with a live viewing, because if Trish does something in a couple of weeks' time and we're showered or phrasing
all our words,
like there's no benefit of hindsight here.
Yeah, we've always known.
But we're really putting all our eggs in Trish's basket. Well, I'd say we're putting like maybe 80% of our eggs in Trish's basket.
Yeah. Yinran has yet to come.
Yinran has yet to come. Speaking of which. Okay, she's so next. In between in between Trish's entrance and the next entrance, Big Brother speaks to the house and decides to start playing some party games. And the first game that Big Brother decides to play is Musical Statues. So puts on the music and I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston comes on.
Again, like no skips.
Like, God.
Also, they're so bad at playing this game.
Can we talk about Tom's dancing? Did anyone notice Tom's dancing?
No.
He was very much giving like wacky waving inflatable arm inflating tube man, but with the arms down. It was kind of like...
Okay.
You can't see what I'm doing, but it's like poor dancing. And I was like, that man is uncomfortable. That man has not learned how to... That man's 21 years old and has only been on maybe 7 to 10 nights out. Like, hasn't quite learned how to dance in a social environment yet, I would say.
Straight.
But yeah, they're terrible at it. Like, statue no more.
Shocking, yeah.
Terrible.
But anyway, that leads us into our next housemate who has to come in during the game, which terrifies her. Which I find hilarious.
Yeah, because they're all standing there still, like.
So next we have, yeah, so it's Yin Ruan, and she is from Shanghai, wasn't it? I think.
Shanghai.
She's
25.
Yes.
I think great vibes.
She has moved from China to the UK. I don't know when she said she moved, but her cultural takeaways from living in the UK is that she loves the phrase chuffed to bits, Bob's your uncle, cheers mate, and nincompoop, which I would wouldn't have thought was an especially British phrase.
Nincompoop.
Where in the UK is she living that she hears nincompoop?
Yeah, I was like,
what? 1870s.
She's living with like Nanny McPhee or something. Like,
yeah.
Nincompoop.
Like,
on the subject of
Nanny McPhee.
The mid-30s gays picking the music, Carly Rae, I Really, Really Like You.
Yeah, there you go. Does she say what she does for work?
She doesn't.
Right.
She just said that she was born in the year of the tiger.
So, oh yeah.
Work.
And then she gets really angry when people are mean to her.
Yes.
So yeah. But anyway.
You and me both, Yin Ruan.
Poor Yin Ruan.
Yin Ruan, sorry. She's the one who gets something kind of ooh.
Yes, she does. Iconic. And then but God love her, because she comes into the house and everyone is just standing still because they're in the middle of the game. And she kind of hides behind the wall because she's like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, it's really weird. Like, really what weird. A weird vibe to come in. Yeah.
But then Hallie breaks the silence by saying, oh, my boobs are sweating to bits or something like that. So,
yeah.
So there's and proof that the house is warm already. We already know it's warm.
Yeah. God. So next up is the first one, I'm not going to lie, that I really wasn't all that sure about. That is Jordan. So Jordan is a lawyer from Scunthorpe. He says everyone thinks he's posh, but he's from a council estate in Scunthorpe. But it's because he taught himself a posh accent from Downton Abbey.
That he watched when he was a child.
What are our thoughts on Jordan?
You know what?
He says he has a face like a chastised backside. But actually, I don't agree. I'm not saying I'd smash.
A pinky.
But I don't think he's wrecked. Like, he's not in bits at all.
I'm not talking about the way he looks. I'm talking about the cosplaying posh.
The cosplaying posh.
No, I'm talking about the way he looks.
I think he might be an unexpected one. Now, I'll probably eat my words later on.
Unexpected good.
Yeah, maybe. Just a bit
daft, do you know what? You know? He kind of had like a shyness to him. He seemed like a sweetie. But I was just like, why are you...
Pretending
to be posh? Like,
he just gave me a bit eccentric. Is that really coded?
Look, I think, okay, the jury's out on Jordan is what we've, it's what we've figured out.
I mean,
out.
He's a lesser of two evils, and you'll see what I,
lesser of two evils of a specific genre of housemate. And I think if you're listening to this podcast, we all know what we're referring to. I'm not gonna, you know, bring the hammer down on Jordan too quickly, but I will say I did raise an eyebrow at the wanting to be posh vibe.
What did you think of his velvet suit?
One of two velvet suits we'll see tonight. I liked it. I liked the velvet suit. I'm perfectly fine with the velvet suit.
Slay.
Was it him or the other one who had a full velvet?
I think it was him.
Okay. Snaps.
Because it was all snaps burgundy. It was all like, whereas I think it was a blazer sitch.
With the other one.
Okay, next up we have, again, someone that I don't have too much to say about. Zach seems like a very nice man.
He's a model
from Manchester. Yeah. Very, very, you know, good looking man.
Apparently an ASOS model.
ASOS model.
I've been creeping on comments underneath his photo, and people have been like, I know him off ASOS. So there you go.
I kind of see it, actually. Like the tats across the chest.
I don't know how much to say either. So.
He's originally from Thailand. He moved to the UK when he was 9. Didn't have a word of English, but learned English from YouTube videos. And now there was a lot of talk about his accent because he's from Manchester, and so he just has a very thick northern accent. And he was like, now people need subtitles for me because I'm from Manchester kind of vibes.
Oh my God, you sound like from Chicken Run. I don't want to be in a pie. I don't like gravy.
Is she a northern chicken?
That's me.
Are they all northern chickens?
One who's always doing the knitting.
Always
doing the knitting.
Oh yeah, big time. Don't have too much to say about Zach. He seemed nice.
He's the looker of the season, I'd say.
He is a bit of a looker, let's be honest. So next up we have Chanel.
Sorry, it's deafened loads of people.
Chanel. She answers to the name Chanel. From a town in Welsh that
I tried to type out.
I apologise to anyone Welsh listening to this. I'm not trying to be funny. You know, we all grew up learning Irish. We recognise that sometimes languages are hard.
I couldn't
make heads or tails of where she said she was from. But she's another Welsh girly. She says that she's book smart, but she has no common sense. She's a dental therapist. She says that her favourite tooth is the canine.
Which tooth is the canine? Sorry, stupid question.
It's this one. It's like the fang one.
On the bottom or the top?
There's both. One on the top and one on the bottom on either side. It's the pointy one.
Okay, work.
They're meat tearing teeth. There you go.
Oh, she's
very well remembered, Maeve, from biology.
Oh, yes, Mama. Mama knows the canines. But yeah, Chanel is 29, which means that she's from the generation that she's from
the Mary Burns. Oh my God, do you think if this is going to be in October every year, it's going to become like the X Factor where it's like the run into Christmas? Who's going to get number one?
Well, I wonder now.
The single they release.
The charity single.
I get a record.
So
when is
this due to end? Actually, yeah. We should probably say this from the outset. Myself and Rob are away for the last week of Big Brother, so we're going to have to figure out something for the finale. Because we just decided to do this podcast extremely impulsively. We will
Hello,
figure something out.
Europe.
But we're letting you know at the beginning of the season that the finale might be late. Just wanted to get that out of the way.
Lower your expectations.
Lower your expectations. But yeah, that's Chanel. Sorry for taking over her intro with our expectation lowering. She goes in, gets on well with Jenkin. I think they seem to live relatively close together. And you were about to say something about her there.
I was going to say the thing she's going to miss most is the pub.
The pub.
Good for her.
Good for her.
All she says tooth in the most amazingly Welsh way. It's like teth.
Teth.
My favorite teth. Is it's great. It's just great. Great. Let's go.
And obviously, we're doing a bit of accent vibes here. Full permission to take off our accents because pock all the kettle black here probably. Right, next up,
Dylan.
We have Dylan,
Who has a very interesting story about him getting his foot amputated because he got hit by a taxi. Was it a taxi?
He got hit by a taxi.
And then lived with a really badly healed foot for like 2 years, and then just decided to get rid of it.
Fair play.
Now he has like
he was demonstrating. So he has a prosthetic leg, but he was demonstrating his lights. And he says that he uses them because he's a DJ. So he's like, he says that like, so he's a DJ.
Part of the show.
He's like, loves getting the crowd pumping. And he's like, has like a fully lit up prosthetic.
My leg has a light show coming out of it. Yeah.
Yeah, full on.
I wonder where he bought that.
Like I don't know.
DJ leg.
But he's not too much to say about Dylan either. He pretty much just introduced himself, talks about being a DJ.
Oh, didn't he do like a freestyle?
What
was the freestyle?
That was such a jump scare.
Yeah.
He did like a DJ.
What do you call it?
Oh, we're going to give a happy birthday to Nicky, who's 21 today. That kind of style. But when they handed him the mic and we're like,
can all the nurses in here make some noise?
Oh my God. Yup, the nurses. When they handed him the mic, I was like, what's he going to do? What's coming? And it was actually quite impressive.
It was actually really
I thought he was going to go full rap.
I think I must have disassociated during that because I have no recollection.
Right. Who's up next? Oh, and up next we've got
the most beautiful woman who ever lived.
Miss Naki.
Miss Naki.
Oh,
Miss
my Naki. God.
Miss Universe. Miss Literal Universe.
Literal in last year's winner of,
Like, probably the most perfect looking person I've seen in recent memory. She has like a full on ball gown on. Like, she is evening wear.
They were playing Charlie XCX Hotness during the VC. Perfect.
I look hot in
perfect.
It.
Hot in it.
But then she's also giving business bitch in the VT. Like, she's also like, she's like, I'm pageant queen, but also I work in finance and I'm a banker. And like, I'd say she just has loads of money. Like, undeserved. I'm like, step on me. Because she has this like gorgeous
step on me.
Mother. She's mother.
Call me mother.
Naki is mother. She's talking about how she's a feminist and she just believes that women can do anything men can do. I'm like, sorry, with a face like that, you can do like just take it all, you know.
It was a real weird switch at this point. So up until Naki, they did the VTs before they got out of the car, right?
Yeah.
But then she just arrived. They were like, and please welcome Naki. And then just appeared out of the car. And I was like, did she not get a VT? Because she's like kind of famous or whatever. I found it really jarring. And then when she went into the house, they played her VT.
So I noticed that. I think it was around this point in the episode that I was like, oh, she arrived before the VT. And then I was just like gaslighting myself. I was like, oh, maybe they must have been doing that the whole episode. And I just didn't notice. But if you noticed it then as well.
Yeah, it was real jarring.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was weird because like you kind of need to see the person before they arrive.
If any of the editors are listening, please let us know.
Take
what
notes.
Was the choice?
Take notes. We were all upset.
We want the chaos.
So next up, we have another fucking party game. hide and seek. Big Brother comes on and says, "Yous all need to hide." And so they all like the shittest hiding spots I've ever seen.
Stupid.
But also, I think the doors are all still locked, so they all can only hide in like the kitchen living room area. So there's really not that many options.
But like Big Brother says, like the one who's found the first will face a consequence. And then three of them just like sit behind the kitchen counter. It's like obviously lying they're gonna come the in and like yeah, turn left, like.
Yeah, so it's literally, do they come in this way or this way? Like,
yeah,
do you know what I mean? And then two of them were hiding behind the couch. Like, to be honest, I feel like they were all likely to be seen first. Like, it was just whichever way your man went. And speaking of your man, you've got another permed up honey here by the name of Maddie. Gorgeous hair. We've got Maddie. He's 24. He's from the Isle of Man. He's a doctor. I just have, he looks like Tom.
He does.
Tom too.
He does indeed. So
they both have like a perm mullet situation going on.
Yeah. Both have mustaches. Just looking at their photos. Yeah.
I will say facially they don't look alike, but in terms of like the hair general choices.
We'll need a few episodes to actually tell them apart, I think, properly. But
yeah.
But funnily enough, I think I spotted a twin brother of him in the audience on his way in.
Oh.
It cut to somebody who looked exactly like him. Or maybe it was Tom's twin brother, I don't know. fun fact on him, he loves ecstatic dancing. I was like, that's camp.
I kind like, of like howling
at the moon kind of shit.
Sorry, I thought that was a bit cringe. I was like,
I think it's camp.
I was like, it's giving 24. Like, I was like, pet, like, I love ecstatic dancing, just going crazy. And like, do you know
me,
what? I'm not
Carly Rae Jepsen.
I'm not dissing him at all. Like, I'm like, you do your ecstatic dancing. I love that for you. You enjoy yourself. It just, it reminded me at 24. Not that I was ecstatic dancing, but that's the type of thing that I would have said. that's the type of thing I would have said in full confidence. I'm like,
I feel like he's someone seems who's like a lovely eternally at a full moon party, you know, like he never left it.
And listen, I'm not dissing Maddie. He seems lovely. He seems like a little sweetie, and I wish him nothing but the best in the house. And
now they have a doctor.
Yeah, he's
in the
a doctor.
Really handy. How are you a doctor?
Oh, he said he works with like mostly old people, right?
Yeah, he he's old a geriatric people. Doctor.
Is that like an old people doctor?
He also mentioned eating from a bin at one point.
He loves eating from bins.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's that junior doctor wage, probably, you know?
But listen, if he's 24 and he's a fully qualified doctor, I'm like, sir, you're successful.
In this economy,
I mean, if he's working in the NHS, I have nothing but respect. But
but anyway,
would accept a chance.
Who does he see first? Is it Jenkin?
It's Jenkin. It was the big fucking loud shirt peeking out behind the counter.
So yet again, so Jenkin. Sorry, we forgot to mention Jenkin lost the musical statues, so he has to bring Yinrun. Breakfast in bed in the morning, and now he's out also after losing the hide and seek, and now he has no hot water for 24 hours, which, to be honest, I don't think 24 hours is that bad. You just leave your shower till the evening the next day, like it's fine,
because they were like, they really overreacted. They're like, oh, he's going to be stinking. It's like, mean.
If it was for like 3 days, it would warrant a reaction, you know, but I'm like, 24 hours, just have your shower in the evening tomorrow.
There's
like,
many overreactions in this episode, actually, I must say. So
Although in fairness, we don't know how warm it is. So if it is incredibly warm, they're probably, and they're all pumping sweat, it's probably a bit like, okay, that's mean.
Do you think it's warm on purpose? Do you think it's part of their plan to make them all really uncomfortable?
I wonder if it's like the lights or something. Or
make them all sick.
And just like 16 people.
Prunes.
People don't really get sick that often in Big Brother.
Yeah, have you ever seen someone being... I suppose it's maybe like quarantine. Like, there's probably not that much viruses getting out or in.
Yeah, maybe. Much to think about.
Yeah, have you ever seen someone...
sick.
Being real sick, like... Anyway.
Yeah, anyway.
Listen.
Anyway,
Paul.
Paul. I couldn't understand a word Paul was saying.
Like, oh my god, he sounded stuff. Like Beaker from the Muppets.
Oh, I loved Paul. I was like, I love again. Liverpool. No, I love a Scouse accent because it's very like Riley Hayes, and he said Scouse power on the stage.
He did.
New girl power.
And all I could think of was, so me and Rob went to Liverpool in May to see Caroline Polachek. It was a bit of a last minute impulse trip. And then a couple of months later, we saw that Danielle Walsh, if any of you are not familiar with Danielle Walsh, Queen of Belfast.
Why isn't she in this cast?
She should be in the cast.
Too famous, probably.
But she, look up Danny Walsh 123 on Instagram. I'm not even going to elaborate anymore. But she went to,
I feel like our listeners definitely in Liverpool. Know.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. But there's a bar in Liverpool called Alcatraz, where you dress up in prison jumpsuits and just drink all night. And we didn't know about it when we went to Liverpool. And then a couple of weeks later, Danielle Walsh was there. And all I can think of when I hear a Scouse accent is, why didn't we go to Alcatraz? Anyway.
Alcatraz. It's not me mocking the, I'm not mocking the Scouse accent. He has a really high-pitched voice that goes alongside the Scouse accent.
It's
that just
whistle
makes him sound like Beaker. It's Beaker.
He's doing whistle
excited, Rob.
Dr. Honeyduke. You what?
He's just very excited to be there.
So,
but he seems like a lovely
security.
Chap.
He seems lovely. He works in security. He does boxing. He wants to ultimately be a professional boxer. And he lives with his granddad, who he says is a lovely person. And Paul, I wish nothing but the best.
Yeah,
Paul.
He does seem like a pest.
Little
he'd
chicken.
Fight for me.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like he'd fight for you.
Fight for me, Paul.
Fight for your honour.
Yeah. Fight for Liverpool.
Okay. Let's,
fight for Alcatraz.
Let's go on to our next
episode. Here we fucking go.
This is the one that we've all been waiting for.
This is where we start. This is the embers of the podcast coming
this
back.
This is
man.
What got us over the line, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who wants to start with Henry?
Oh, where to start? So Henry, what age is he? I don't have his age.
25. But, this man 25. Is 25 years old.
And he's a private school boy and went to boarding school. Doesn't say
he's
which,
though.
He's
a food writer from the Cotswolds.
Okay, number one, Cotswolds. Who's from the Cotswolds? Like, I feel like if you're from the Cotswolds, you're a fucking minted, probably. You must
get Henry.
Anyway, Henry.
So the first thing that he says is that he wants a matron in the house because when he was in boarding school, he used to have his sheets and clothes and stuff washed and, you know, everything.
No. He had a beloved matron. Beloved.
Beloved. Right. She wasn't just any matron. She was a beloved matron.
Jesus fucking Christ.
The mammy issues are jumping out. Honestly.
But like, so then he goes, he feels compelled to just like say in his introduction that in the last election he voted for the Conservative Party because the number one person in life they would love to go for a martini with is Boris Johnson.
Who's drinking martinis in 2023?
Henry.
Henry and Boris on their date.
Henry. And again, so look, I recognise that, you know, we're three Irish podcast hosts and, you know, this is a UK show. So we're probably not the most, shall we say, neutral on this topic. But, you know, someone who comes right out and says that they're a diehard royalist is not going to be my favourite person.
If you don't like the monarchy, get out of the country.
People who don't like the royal family should just leave the country, to be honest, is what he said.
And then they have the audacity to start playing Charlie XCX.
The audacity to use her.
They did not play Charlie XCX.
They played Fancy.
Oh, Fancy.
So they obviously switched back the order then because he definitely did his little intro after the VT because he says to the hosts then, they're like, oh, are you going to be like stoking some flames in the house? Like, and he says, well, yeah, I like to debate and I like to, you know, spark conversation.
There it is.
Hell, here we go. And he also says that he wants to learn some life skills in the house, like cooking and cleaning And they're like, do you not know that already? They're like, do you not know how to do those things already? And he says, no. He's like, I feel like I'm not a real adult yet. I'm going to learn how to be an adult. I'm like, this is embarrassing. So look, Henry...
So we talk about him and Jordan really quickly. Do you think they're going to smash?
Do you think they're too conservative?
To smash?
Yeah.
To talk?
They seem to have clicked already immediately. Yeah.
Like later on, Jordan is in the diary room and he says that Henry feels like a long lost cousin. So maybe, although fucking Tories.
Although conservatives, hello.
Yeah. So
aren't royalists like they're not so against keeping like
they're all about bloodlines, right?
What's the one? Love the one you're with.
A small genetic pool, shall we say?
Like mice.
Anyway, probably shouldn't say this. We're back. Anyway,
we might have to, retrospectively delete a lot of stuff out of episodes. Because,
never fucking deleted anything. So, like, I think
the thought that all of those episodes of like our darkest days are all just sitting.
No,
there
but the thing is, we were talking about the housemates knowing how they did and what they said and what you know, and we're all like, you know, so we could, yeah. Be saying the entirely wrong things, but anyway, this is
We don't have the benefit of hindsight here. So next up we have Olivia, who
spare me.
Is another one who has an interesting rest of the episode ahead. So she's a dancer from Glasgow. She says she doesn't like people pleasers, boring people, or smelly people. I mean, same. I mean, people pleasers, I feel like, is not the worst attribute someone could have. Like, it's more self-destructive than it is annoying for other people.
Yeah.
She says she lives at home with her parents and two sisters. She's the princess of the house. And she says, what I say goes. And then she says she's traumatized by dating men. Same.
A profound silence has entered the chat.
But yeah, so... Olivia, you know, she goes in, she's very glam, she's wearing like...
She loves Scotland. She said every time she hears the bagpipes, she cries, love Scotland. Same, to be honest.
And she arrives in and within the first minute, she's going mad because there's no drink left for her. She's like, did they really think two bottles of Prosecco were going to be the drink?
Two bottles of Prosecco? I don't think.
They drank it dry.
But yeah, we'll reserve comment on Olivia until later, shall we say.
We're on to our last housemate, lucky number 16. We've got Kerry. Is Kerry the oldest? No, she's 40.
Frida.
Kerry's 40.
Yes.
She is an Essex gal. Immediate great vibes. Works for the NHS and has multiple sclerosis.
Yes. And she says that she's extremely competitive and she's all about winning and that she says second place is first loser. So she is coming for that 100 grand in a big way.
She wants the money, honey.
She is incredibly excited to be there as she like comes out of the car. She's like, woo! And she has a mobility scooter and she is scooting up that runway like there's no tomorrow and just having a lovely old time. She seems to be just a very lovely woman.
As soon as I saw her, I thought, do you think because she's 40, Henry is going to think that she's the beloved matron that he's waiting for?
My question was, who is Henry going to be assigning the matron role to? I think Kerry is a candidate. I think there's a couple of, basically any woman over 30, I think he's going to be like, you're the matron.
So only two, right?
There's Kerry, Trish, and Frida.
Oh my god, Trish.
Trish.
Chanel is on the cusp as well.
Chanel's on the cusp.
She's a cusp sign.
She's a cusp sign. But one of them, he's going to be expecting them to wipe his arse for him, and I just don't think it's going to go down well. I almost pray, like, who's the most likely to absolutely lash him out of it out of those three? Probably Trish. I hope it's Trish, that he tries it with.
Trish, yeah.
Because she
don't
will
fuck with Trish.
Flatten that man. I feel like Carrie and Farida are so lovely that they might
just end up babying him, you know?
For like, not for the whole series, but for at least a day or two. I want immediate flattening. So I feel like Trish might be the one for the job. Anyway.
Tear the bitch apart.
Let's destroy them.
Well, that's
so everybody. They're all in. 16. Jesus.
That's a lot of people.
How many was it usually? I can't even remember now. 12?
So I looked up the last series the last series that we did, which was Big Brother 7, was 22. Yeah. But they didn't all go in on the first day. Yeah, that was including all the late editions. And then, like, the earlier seasons, it was more like 13, 14. So it was, like, like lower teens.
How are they going to evict 15 people in 6 weeks?
So, yeah, let's talk. I feel like the format has to be slightly different this year because it can't be one eviction a week and then, like, it's either one eviction a week and then a final with 10 people in it, or it's going to be like double evictions or multiple eviction nights a week. I don't really know.
Surprise evictions for sure, like on a Wednesday, I would say.
Yeah, I wonder though if it's going to be like, and I mean, I feel like this is a pipe dream, but, and you guys might not agree with this, but my take from watching Survivor. So the way that they do Big Brother in the US is that the way that the vote outs work is the same as Survivor. It's not the same as the UK at all, which is that they all vote each other out. And it's so people end up like forming alliances and like betraying each other and stuff. And it means that you can do a vote out every couple of days because they all kind of band together. So it means that there's no public vote. And it makes for very interesting social dynamics. I would not mind seeing this dynamic in Big Brother.
Maeve, would you ever start your own podcast called Survive Her? And it's like one woman's take on Survivor.
No, listen, there's enough Survivor podcasts out there. I'm perfectly happy to take a back seat. I don't think I've got much more to contribute to the conversation.
Right.
Than
to slightly debunk, they said earlier in the app that they have an app. You have to vote for evictions. So I think there is like a public.
I would love to see the contestants vote each other out.
Fight.
Because it's so public and it's like, you know how many votes somebody got because they like read out the votes, but you just don't know who voted. It's fucking
faithful,
chaos.
Faithful.
It's
traitor. Faithful.
I just think the contestants voting each other out is a slightly more interesting dynamic than the public voting the contestants out. But look, we have what we have.
Well, the night continues, and if that was the case, Olivia wouldn't be lasting very long. They're playing Pass the Parcel in the theme of party games continuing. My like crippling childhood anxiety came back for playing Pass the Parcel.
You kind of want to hold on to it.
Pass the Parcel.
Pass the Parcel, you kind of like, you want to have it in your hand. So like, you want to hold on to it for a polite amount of time.
But you can't be a big greedy gobblegannet either.
No, you have to pass it along in like a socially acceptable manner. Like, so you're kind of like.
Musical chair is fucking stacking us. Anyway, so they're passing the parcel and who gets the first? Paul gets the first parcel. And he's asked who he would least like to share a bed with. He says Dylan, because Dylan is bigger than him. And as a result, Dylan has no bed going forward.
Curse.
Well, he really doesn't. It's like, when they said it,
I thought they said you'll have no bed tonight.
As in, like, he hasn't got bed, or he can pick a different one, or what's...
No, well,
they show later there's like a little board on the floor with like a blanket on it. That's his bed. So I was like, oh, he can just sleep on the couch. That's grand. But no.
Surely he slept on the couch. Like, come on. You can't sleep on that fucking board. It was literally like a wooden plank.
Zach is like, I'll sleep on the board. It's great for your back. Like, is it?
No. Yeah. Maybe.
No, they do say that like if your mattress is too soft, it's not good for you. Like you're supposed to have a firm mattress, but I don't think it's like wooden board firm, you know.
Yeah.
Floor.
So next up, we're one parcel deep. And Kerry is lumped with the next.
I am obsessed with this.
With the next parcel. So she unwraps it and she has to say who she thinks has the worst dress sense. And she says, Jenkin has the worst dress sense because he's come dressed as the Big Brother eye, which is a joke that's already been made in this episode and one that I had also thought of earlier in the episode. So I just felt thoroughly like no original thoughts at this point.
Vindicated.
And then Jenkin, they just start playing a video and they show them bombing his suitcase. So like you're not getting your suitcase for the rest of the
blown, like blown to bits.
Blown to bits.
Yeah. Torn asunder.
It was torn asunder. Like the thing was blown up. I hope he didn't have so anything dramatic of sentimental value in that suitcase because like
just the that shit was just
bombed.
It all happened so fast as well.
Yeah, it was like kush. On fire.
He didn't they were like, seem oh my god. Involved, though. Like he really was not upset at all. Like I but what
was
he,
it
like,
the punishment you're not ever getting your suitcase or just not for a while.
Well it's been blown up. Blown he just up. Says it just says you're not getting your suitcase and then it was like oh. Explosion. So they can't
imagine
really...
imagine Bonnie if they'd blown up her suitcase.
No. You bastards.
You blew up my suitcase, you bastards.
I'm like I feel like it was a fake suitcase. Because I will say, I don't think that much debris came out of it for like a full suitcase full of clothes. I was like, right, this is staged. But I don't think.
Oh my god, this ITV budget for the pyrotechnics. Oh my goodness. What are the tasks going to be like?
Lady Gaga found rotting. Lady Gaga's toast pyro found
rotting. Oh no, the pyro at Chromatica.
So hot.
So hot.
In 30 degrees.
So anyway, last pass the parcel, Mark. Do you want to announce
Mark,
this
on.
One?
This one.
So it's actually great who it lands on because it gives them a bit of a break from being fucking, you know.
Targeted.
And it was Jenkin. And the question was... what was it? Who'd you least get along with in the house? Or is it no? Who do you not want to live with in the house? He says, you know, I can't really base this on anything, but I'm gonna say Olivia because we haven't really gelled yet. Which like
You have to say someone.
He has to say someone, I guess. And like
she's the second last in the house. Fine. They probably never even got a chance to say hello to each other. Like so he's
She makes that very clear. Like
But she plays off at first that she's not bothered and he's like, sorry, I just had to pick someone. But anyway, the punishment is that she's automatically now up for eviction on Friday. And that's when things change when she realizes what the punishment is.
She's about to floor him.
Yeah.
She's like, if he even comes up to me, I don't even want to talk to him. Okay, I want to ask you guys, because I was thinking about this, what do you think of Olivia's reaction? Do you think it was fair? Do you think it was not fair? Do you think it was an overreaction? Do you think you would have reacted in any sort of similar way?
Absolutely not. Poor man just had his fucking suitcase blown up. He has no hot water.
And also, if someone that like literally came into the house like 20 minutes ago said that we hadn't gelled yet, I'd be like, yeah, I know. We haven't even spoken.
Yeah.
I'd be like,
no, I
wouldn't
think
be taken personally at all.
I think that she was a little bit overly aggro with it. But I will say, I do think that I would be a bit like, my feelings would be hurt. I'd be like, I'm up for eviction on the first day. And
But you wouldn't blame him.
No, you wouldn't blame him, but you would be a bit devo, I think.
Yeah.
My thought process would be, I'm up for eviction. Let me just not make myself look terrible straight away.
And make sure
I am evicted.
Yeah, for sure. But I think I would internalize my emotions, make no mistake. But I think I would be a bit put out, like. I'd be a bit like, okay, you don't know me, but anyway. I wouldn't be like going at him though. I wouldn't be like, if he comes near me.
Oh my god, when she was like walking past him and just says loudly, well, at least I don't have the worst dress sense in the house. It's like, there's no need.
Oh,
the
Jesus,
man's just wearing a jazzy shirt, like.
But then who is it that she's chatting to afterwards and like, she's like, that just winds me up. It's too much. It's too much. I'm like, dude.
It
like,
was Kerry, wasn't it?
Oh, it's out in the Farida in the garden.
Yeah. But I was like, Pet, like, he had to pick someone. Like, somebody here was going to be on the receiving end of that. Like, it just happened to be you because you're literally
the game,
the last
girl.
Person in,
it's the game.
Pod.
Play.
Yeah. Like,
game.
I can understand her being put out, but I'm like, okay, rein it in. You know?
Get so, anyway, yeah. Figure it out. She's potentially going
so
to
so yeah like basically she just spends the rest of the episode proving why she is the most difficult to live with.
Yeah
But she gets a little olive branch that Big Brother calls her in to the diary room. Question mark, the diary room looks like a fanny, the chair.
Do we think? I didn't get vagina, but if I look again, I might.
Okay.
Vagina. It's actually apparently the biggest chair they've ever had.
It's very chaise long, like, because it's like the full shape of an eye.
You could sleep in that.
You could have
your man's
bed.
Really,
no bed.
In you go.
In you get your man. So Big Brother tells her that tomorrow they're going to vote, or they're going to line up the housemates in order of most interesting to least interesting, and she needs to not be the least interesting housemate. And if she does that, she'll be immune from eviction.
But I'm sorry, I'm calling this fucking bullshit. Like, how can you win immunity in the first week just by not being last of 16? Like, and the thing is, no one's going to make her be the least interesting because no one's going to want to kick her while she's down after being
spicy. It's Tom. Like, we all know it's Tom.
They're going to put her as, like, fifth most interesting or something because they're like, oh, she's had a rough day, you know?
Give her a break. So yeah, it sounds a bit like all like a lie.
Especially after they've seen her like fucking lose the head over nothing. They're hardly going to put her as least interesting the following day.
Because she decked them.
Because she's, you know, made clear that she is an assertive woman. But yeah.
That's kind of where we're at. One last tidbit is Tom and Dylan. No, not Dylan. Tom and...
Maddie? Yeah,
Are comparing perms, and they very much are like twins. Like, that's kind of it, isn't it?
That is kind of it. I can't remember how we used to outro. We used to outro these episodes with like a song of the week, Butcher.
Oh,
geez. We were
hawking our Patreon. We were giving our socials.
We still have our Instagram. So if you want to contact us, just slide into the DMs. Yeah. Please do not. Oh, hang on. What was it?
Please.do.not.
Again, 2 hours since we decided to bring back this podcast.
Yeah. We used to do the email address, but we only got back into the email account there about 2 hours ago for the first time in a year and a half. So maybe not the best way to get in touch with
Send
us a DM.
Just DM us.
DM all the way.
We never thought we'd be back, but here we are, unfrozen, unthawed.
Yeah.
Isn't it mad that we haven't spoken in a year and a half? Imagine.
It's mad that we had that huge falling out and like
we don't talk about summer 22.
Yeah, we don't. Don't ask Rob why he has a massive scar on his back.
Why did Rob leave Instagram?
The real tea exposed. Spread the word, guys, again, I guess, because now we're relevant to a bigger audience. So,
are we? Yeah. Are we, though?
Are we? kids. The kids will be watching
The kids.
Big Brother now. But,
true.
Oh, God, they'll tear us asunder.
This has been fun. Sorry.
Gen Z will tear us apart.
They will.
Yeah. These old hogs. These old hags. We're back for a new season. It's all very exciting.
Awesome.
I think we're going to do this on a weekly basis, so it'll be kind of similar format to what we had for the previous seasons, where we'll just do like a week's worth of eps, in one episode. We still have to decide what day we're releasing the normal episodes. We were just like, let's get the launch done out of the way. Excitement, while we have the wherewithal to do it. So
we're locking ourselves in.
TVC. It's all to play for here, guys. So yes. But excited to have another new Big Brother season ahead of us.
Thanks for sticking with us a year and a half later. Buzzing.
And pleasure doing business.
If you know, for always being there as well, you know?
Yeah.
As we go on, we remember. All right, chickens. Good night and God bless.
Good night.
Smoochie smoochie.
Deuces. Okay. Have a lovely week, y'all.
Okay, bye.
See you. Bye. Bye.